You're listening to Marriage Takeover with Eric and Tamika Thompson, helping to enrich your marriage.
Welcome.
Yo, yo, yo.
Welcome to Marriage Takeover.
Yeah.
I'm your girl, Tamika.
I'm your boy, E-Rock, Nim.
We have been married now 23 years.
23.
You guys. 23 years. We keep it real.
We keep it raw.
And we keep it uncut.
All day.
You are tuning into Marriage Takeover.
Yes, you are.
The body of one. And we want to welcome you. Welcome.
So, you are well.
So, if you are tuning in for the very first time, thank you so much for tuning in. I have to put this disclaimer out there that my husband is a nutcase.
I am not a nutcase.
So, just in case you hear or you've seen or you thought maybe, did he really say that? Yeah, he really said it.
Praise the Lord.
He's and worthy. For those of you who have been supporting the tribe and supporting the journey all this time, we just want to thank you so much for stopping by. Thank you for your continued support. We really appreciate you.
Thank you.
So if you're here for the first time, make sure that you hit that subscribe button.
Hit that subscribe.
And then hit the bell so that you get the notification.
Boom, ding-a-ding.
Once we release our podcast.
Praise him.
So today we are going to get started with prayer. We do everything from a biblical standpoint, right? Helping marriages, building marriages, enriching marriages so that you don't have to go through some of the same obstacles and trials that we went through as we were coming up through our 23 years.
Right.
Awesome.
Right.
So you go ahead and get us started with prayer.
Let me start. Father in heaven, Lord God, we want to tell you thank you. God, we thank you right now, God. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment, Father God.
Yes,
I pray now in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you continue to watch over us, oh God. Keep us now.
Yes.
Father God, for you already know what your people stand in need of, oh God. Father God, I pray that a word that is spoken on this day, during this broadcast, oh God, Father God, that it permeate, heal, deliver, and set free, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, that it bring peace, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, that it brings hope, oh God.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you now, God. We bless you now, God, for any marriage, oh God, that is listening, that is on that mountaintop, that they continue to enjoy one another, oh God, and continue to hold each other closer, Father.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, Father, God, I pray for even that couple that might be going through the valley, oh God. Father God, bring them closer together, oh God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
God, we come against the spirit of division now
in the mighty name
of Jesus. And God, we pray now, Father God, that your divine will be done, oh God. Father, because we walk in divine victory.
Yes.
And Father, we bless you right now, God. We give you the glory. God, continue to heal, deliver, set free, oh God, in the name of Jesus.
Please,
Father,
Lord.
We thank you. We bless you. Father, we say this prayer, your daughter's son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah and amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Isn't he worthy?
He is so worthy. So today, we want to do a couple of things. So we are in June. And so for the fathers, happy belated Father's Day. Hope that you all had an amazing Father's Day. And also for the graduates. What?
Go ahead.
For the graduates, congratulations. I know there are people graduating from high school as well as from college. So congratulations on your graduation. I know that this year was a bear for the seniors. And so I just want to make sure that we congratulate you all on that. We understand what kind of, we understand that's an amazing accomplishment. So we're going to go ahead and we are going to jump into
praise the Lord.
The session on today.
Uh-huh.
So today we're going to be talking about ministry and marriage.
Yes, we are.
And oh, it's also National Candy Month. So
seriously.
It is National Candy Month.
Really
I am excited about National Candy Month.
Seriously.
You hear me? Like Sour Patch Kids.
Y'all send them
peanut M&Ms.
What else?
Airheads, like lemon heads, like those are love candy mom. So for candy mom, we gonna drop in. What's your favorite candy for the mom?
What is your favorite condo?
Yes. So we
I love, I love, I love that. I love that Tamika candy.
You like that Tamika?
I like that.
Candy.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So we're going to go ahead and we're going to get started on today. So marriage and ministry and marriage. So when you think about ministry and marriage, if you have listened to us before,
well,
last month we talked about how ministry literally almost destroyed the couple that we were talking with Tasha and Clinton on last month.
Mm.
And so how ministry kind of destroyed their marriage just because And maybe that's the question. Does ministry really destroy your marriage?
Oh, wow.
Well, that's the question. Does ministry destroy your marriage?
Can we change this to marriage and ministry?
Well, I think the better question is, does ministry destroy your marriage?
No, it does not destroy your marriage. And the reason why I say it don't destroy your marriage is because you got to understand, one, what your marriage is, because the scripture tells us that, yo, if you cannot minister to your own home, how are you going to minister to anybody else? So, do I think that marriage destroy your marriage? No, it's just that, I mean, you look at it both ways. If ministry, if you're saying that ministry destroy your marriage, then there's something that you are missing. Because what, look at it like this. Christ said that I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Right.
So now what are you displacing? It's just like here, you know, I'm not going to front or change anything, but, you know, I'm a pastor. I remember talking to one of our ministers, like, hey, can you preach on this day? And it was like, well, pastor, you know, we was going out of town. You know what I said? Oh, no. Take your family, take your wife, wherever. Go on. Why? Because the word of God is still going to move anyway. But you have already set aside to take this time to minister to your wife. Go ahead on and minister to your wife. You see what I'm saying? But those things, sometimes we think that we can't put our spouse before the ministry. No, we don't went, you know us, we take trips, we get it on. But what do we always find ourselves doing 9 times out of 10? We found ourselves ministering, but really not knowing that we're ministering. So that's why I say it all depends on how you place it. Because if you are not getting fulfillment at home, guess what you're going to do? You're going to fulfill it somewhere else. If you don't have the respect in your husband, you're going to respect the man of God over you. You're going to respect the pastor or the minister or whatever over your husband. I'm sorry. That's not what we do right here. But I'm just saying, because you give honor to whom honor is due.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that, but I'm gonna put it to you just like this. Ain't no pastor finna run my house. I almost said something, bro.
You went to 10, like, we just getting started.
Because you have some that be trying to take over people's homes.
But so here's the thing.
Whoa! So wait a minute, we done went off into a whole nother area.
So I will agree that I do not believe that ministry destroys your marriage. I believe that if you don't balance the two properly, that can destroy your marriage. I believe that if you don't understand and have a relationship with God, then that can destroy your marriage. Because ultimately, what we are doing, and a lot of times you'll find yourself, we are going to church and we're doing the regular responsibilities. When you have different offices, when you have different titles, and you have different responsibilities, as I said before, that typically will step into the way sometimes of you losing sight of the true mission for what it is you're doing.
Uh-huh.
And I think when you lose sight of the mission, when you lose sight of the ministry, when you lose sight of your relationship with God, then I think that is what the trigger is to say that is now destroying your marriage. But it's not because of the sake of ministry. It's because you lost sight of what the true mission was.
Displacement.
Right.
It's displacement.
Right.
Because a lot of times, see, that's why y'all gotta scoop up the book that's coming, because it talks about knowing your role. Because sometimes you put the church, the building, the church in front of your home.
Right.
Nah. Yo, you know the funny thing? Your home coming for the church.
Right.
The building. Why? Because in your home is the church.
Right.
So.
Right. No. I was just going to say, and if you think about it in the perspective, like a lot of times we serve man.
And really
more
not God.
Than what we do serve God. And I think.
We serve man with a God front.
Right. And I think this pandemic kind of pulled the sheets off
and let you know.
To say, listen. Who was that? I think it was Prophetess Bynum who used to no more sheep.
No, watch that now. No more sheep.
So I think that's what happened with this pandemic, is it pulled the sheets off of you really worshiping man,
right,
versus, which is idol, versus you worshiping God, uh-huh, in a situation, because now that you can't go to the church building. Because here's what God is saying. God is, and I believe, again, a lot of people have lost their lives, lost loved ones, and so forth. That we do send our hearts,
our hearts
and our
God to all those that have lost.
It's been a devastating year.
Yes, it has.
but I wanted to be able to identify was where some people are moving and breathing and working and just for the sake of being in church. Like, there are a lot of people who are in church for the sake of being in church.
Just for
there
being
are a lot
in
of,
church.
There are a lot of people who are in church who are.
Now, I just want to say, we're not attacking. I want to make sure this is clear.
Oh, yeah.
We are not attacking the church.
Right.
We're talking about how can your marriage survive? Because when you look at it,
cut me off to do that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm just saying we're not attacking. Go ahead. Oh, girl, stop it. Get out your feelings. Y'all tell her to get out of feelings.
So it's not saying that, like, there are people who were in the church for just the sake of being in the church. Every time the church doors were open, they were in the church.
No relationship.
They say that they were in the church. And so what I've even found myself just throughout the years, there were times where I'm just going to church and being a part of church and being working in the church, to where you lose sight of that relationship because you now replace your relationship and the quality time that you have with God with your commute time to church.
With busy
with
church.
Going and working in the
just
church.
Just doing, just
and
doing.
Thinking that is sufficing for your relationship, and it's not.
It is not, right. Because like you said, during this pandemic, it really pulled the sheets off to see where your heart was because you know, you might have lost a loved one and begin to grieve, but then the pastor lost a loved one too, and they're grieving, but because you're so used to finding your confidence in the pastor and not in God, you went looking for the pastor,
right.
But yet he was grieving, meaning he was not available to you. So therefore, because you have now, you got to figure out, okay, God, but he's been trying to comfort you the entire time.
Right.
But because of we have this place or this place where you couldn't even find comfort even in your own home, even with your spouse, because you have put so much into this man, but yet you neglect
our woman,
but you neglected the realness of what your church, because you are the church and not the building.
Right.
So you have put all of this in man and did put really nothing in God. So now it's time to comfort, but you forgot that he said that he is a comforter. But because you've been looking for your comfort elsewhere, it's the displacement.
Right.
So when it's time to minister, people can actually see the spirit of division on you versus what you're trying to say to them to bring them to wholeness.
And I think a lot of times it's easier to trust in what you see.
Oh, come on.
So
now,
when you go to church, ooh, and you see your pastor, him or her, when you go to church and you see, you know, the intercessory prayer leader, when you go to church and you're seeing these people that you are in fellowship with constantly, then what it is you start to displace your trust into them instead of into God.
Right.
And
right.
It's easy to do that because you can see them.
You can see it.
And
right.
I think that sets us up a lot of times too for great disappointment.
Ah,
so when
on.
The pastors fall or when the leaders fall, there's such a great disappointment because here you put all your trust into this man,
mm-hmm,
not realizing that the man is, like, he's human. He's going to fall. She's human. She's going to fall.
Amen.
She's going to make a mistake.
Yes.
And so when God is saying that to put your trust into no man, guess what? That's what he means, to put your trust into no man.
Right.
And that is in everything.
Right.
Yes, we are honoring them because of their title. Yes, we are honoring them because of where God has placed them in our lives, placed them in the ministry. But we should never, ever take that opportunity to replace our trust in man versus, or remove our trust in God to put it in man. That's what I want to say. So understanding that's what kind of the challenge is, I think, a lot of times. And so when we don't align that properly, that's when we mess up. And that's where we allow those things that, and the challenges. So instead of staying at home and working on our marriage and staying at home and working in our families to repair our families, then what we do is we utilize church as a cop-out, just like a lot of people use their jobs as a cop-out.
Oh, come
so
on,
when
man.
COVID took place and the coronavirus over the last year took place, you didn't have that cop-out because everything was shut down.
Hmm.
So you were forced to deal with
your issues. Amen.
And it's crazy because within the last 30 days, when we were searching, just kind of doing some research.
And right now, it's like 40 days. Go ahead.
So the last 30 days, it's been, you know, 10,000 to a million views, just the word searching
divorce. That's such a word, divorce. Right.
So if you think about that, how many people are searching divorce? Why are they searching divorce? And why is the rate so high? Because you no longer can ignore your issues. And if you aren't mature enough and willing enough and selfless enough to be able to tackle the issue so that you can move forward, then the only cop out is to divorce.
Right.
But just know that now there are some people who need to get a divorce, who are in an abusive relationship, who need to get out. We are not condoning. We're not side hot. None of that. So understand this. But understand that if you need to go through that process, just know that if you got issues that you're carrying from one relationship, it's going to go to the next relationship.
That's
not the easy cop out.
If you don't deal with the baggage, if you don't deal with the issue, if you don't deal with the turmoil that's within you, you're going to take it to the next one.
Right.
And so, you know, the thing is that we're not telling you where to go or what to do.
Right.
Well, all this, these are simply our opinions. And if it's a blessing, then, you know, hey, be blessed. Because my thing is, I'm going to always tell you to follow Jesus.
Right.
You guys, sometimes you got to go with your gut, because your gut going to tell you if you're using it as a cop out, are you using it because it's either if I stay, I die.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So we want to make sure we put that out there nice and clear.
Right. So don't come for Marriage Takeover saying they told me to go get a divorce.
No, we ain't tell you that.
But that is not what we said.
But I'm looking at.
But if you are in an abusive relationship, I am saying
get safe.
Get out to get safe.
Get safety. That's what we're saying. If you're in an abusive relationship,
yes.
Get somewhere safe.
Yes.
And then
you and your family.
There.
Yes.
Get somewhere safe. So, but when you're looking at marriage and ministry, tell me, what are some of those key points that may seem, some of those points are that cause us to kind of lose the connection in the home, in the marriage?
Well, I think if I can just speak from my personal place, right?
Oh, you must
there
be going
were times,
all the way back to the beginning.
We are, yeah.
We're going
all the way back, not only to the beginning, but even when we were, even several ministries up until, it's been maybe 10 years ago, 10, 11 years ago. But even when, so I think number one is being able to set expectations.
Ooh, come on.
If you don't set the expectations, okay, when we first got married, I was not active in church like my husband was. And he was very active in church, and he was very, very,
very active. Praise the Lord.
Very active in church. He understood what church was all about. He understood the essence of kind of the workings of the church.
Well, you gotta.
I was not.
You gotta understand, because my mama drugged me to church.
We know, baby.
She was a sometimes saint.
We know, baby. So I didn't understand. I was just still trying to figure it out. Like, what is this? What is it like? Is this real? Like, what's? I had questions. I had lots of questions. And he was oftentimes at church. So we were newly married, and he would come home for me from work and then go to the gym and work out. And then he was in the church. So I'm sitting back at work, you know, at home after getting off from work, and I'm home waiting for him to come home. And I'm just like, well, why are you not at church? And I mean, why you're not home? And he was like, well, I'm at church. What's going on at church? Nothing. So this church was in the building phase. And so they were building. So outside of services, if you had extra time, you would come to this church
and
help build.
Right.
Okay, it's a great thing, but you need to be there every day.
Hey,
and so
we're building. Hallelujah.
And for him, it was a place where, number one, we never talked about setting that expectation.
We never set a boundary.
To say, okay, babe, I'm going to go. And I'm going to be at the church 2 or 3 days out of the week. Or, babes, I'm going to go and I'm going to be at the church 5 days out of the week. And then it would open up the discussion and say, well, do you need to be there 5 days out of the week? Can we maybe just do 2 days out of the week?
We're going
to
be there.
Can we do maybe 3 days out of the week?
When the church doors is open, I'm up in there.
Right. So there was no room for conversation or even the expectations of the boundaries. It was just he was gone. And I was like, well, wait a second. Like, well, what about me? And it got to the point to where I was starting to resent God, because, again, I didn't have that relationship with God.
Mm.
And all I knew was, well, God is taking him away from me.
Mm.
So if he's got to always be at the church, it's got to be something different. It's got to be something better than this.
Right, right, right.
So set those expectations and set the boundaries so that you and your spouse can talk about what you're willing to give.
Right.
What you're willing to, you know.
Right. And the one thing that I do want to say is that understand everybody's marriage and ministry is not built the same.
Right.
Because you have to go off of what God has already placed in your marriage. Because what God placed in our marriage, because see, this is what happened with me. Because I was always at the church, my pastor came to me and said, "Why are you here?"
Right.
And he says, "You've been here every day." He says, "No." He says, put the tools down and you go home to your wife. He said, you go home to your wife. And you remember, well, that following Sunday when he pulled me into his office, he said, you remember, your home comes first. So for me, in our building phase of our marriage, I learned that up front. Right. And so even when God called me into ministry, God has always put it a place for us to keep our marriage first.
Right.
Because when you begin to just look at marriage, and it's like it's at that point to where I would fill her tank. God would just have me just doing stuff. I know I'll fill her tank. And next thing I know, God be like, okay, well, now I need you to go here, 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 and here. To where my home, me being home, might be for, you know, 3 or 4 hours, but then I'm back out again.
Right.
But because God had put me in a place to fill her tank, she also understands the calling on my life. So therefore, her tank is full. So therefore, now I can do the work that God has set for me to do. And then guess what? When I return home, guess who's now filling my tank?
Right.
She's filling my tank.
So, but it has to start from, I honestly believe, you sitting down and having that expectation, because initially I didn't understand it.
Right, right.
I didn't understand why he needed to be out. I just did not understand church and ministry that way.
The working of church. Uh-huh.
And so even with that, you know, when he was traveling, when he went out to go speak, when he had to go to the hospital visits, when he had to go to people's houses and pray. And
Mom, like just it got was, tired. You listen, talk about that.
So understanding that all of that, you set those boundaries. Okay, well, every time that somebody calls does not mean that you have to answer.
Exactly.
So and set that's boundaries both. On, you know, how you move forward. Because as time progressed, and I thank God for that pastor who, you know, was able to set him aside. And then I learned. So the more that I started to learn, the more that I developed my relationship with God.
Right.
It put me in a position to trust my husband more.
Right, right.
Then it also put me in a position to know and understand the ministry. Mm-hmm. And so what we started to do was we started to become wiser. And he started to bring me along so that I could really see what he was doing, how he was doing it. So I didn't have that insecurity that was rising up, or have that void that was rising up to be like, you know, he over there praying for sister so-and-so.
Mm.
All right, well, what's sister so-and-so doing? Who over there with so-and-so?
Watch out now.
Sister so-and-so, why he over there praying and laying hands, and what kind of hands is they laying?
Oh, watch out.
I need to know who he with, where they laying hands, and what's going on.
That's one thing that I didn't put myself there where my good would be evil spoken.
But there are a lot of people who don't think about that.
Who falls in those
because
traps.
I'm going to tell y'all about something recently, a couple of months ago. Right, we were having this conversation a couple of months ago because my husband is naive. I don't know why men are so naive.
We ain't got to bring up that.
So, he is so naive, and so he can't, because he's a flirt, number one.
No, right? I'm not a flirt.
He's a flirt, number
I'm
one.
I'm not a flirt.
And so when you are just, I think when that's a part of your natural charisma, your natural makeup, you don't understand when I think somebody is flirting back, or when they're taking your kindness as a come on.
Right.
So people will, like, they will take his joking, they will take his, you know, whatever. Like, I don't, because I'm secure in it. We can go up to a drive thru, y'all. He'll be at the drive thru. He'll be like, hey, beautiful. And, you know, the other side of the spectrum, she might not be all that beautiful, but because he just said, hey, beautiful, she thinking, oh, I'm beautiful. Yeah. Well, how you doing? She put a little extra fries in there. And sometimes, depending on how I feel and where we are, I'd be like, babe, go ahead. Go ahead, flirt.
Come on, honey.
But I'm just saying.
I'm saying for me.
But I'm just, let me finish. Stay with me. I'm a blessing.
Go on, mama.
So when he's doing different things, people don't understand that it's not for that he really isn't coming on to you.
Right.
That's just my husband. That's just who he is. And so people will take that and they're like, ooh, he liked me. And they might, you know, do a little extra and get a little overboard. And then that's when, you know, Sasha got to rise up and be like, yo, let me check that.
No, but common sense for me comes into play because.
No, because.
Not all the time. Okay. Sometimes I do miss it.
So just, I'm telling y'all, just a couple of months ago, right? I'm at the house chilling, working, you know, working from home, working. And he was out. Were you going out to get coffee? He went out to go do something in the morning time. And this lady, her car broke down. She ran out of gas or something.
Oh, okay.
This lady ran out of gas.
Yeah.
And she ended up being the same woman, but she ran out of gas. And he went to go help her. My husband
and
is the type of
and
person.
And I forgot to call. Yes.
My husband is the type of person where if you are stranded on the side of the road and you got flashes, he want to pull over and help. So he pulled over, saw her in distress. Pulled over and was just like, hey, you good? I ran out of gas and I'm on my way to a closing and da 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 da. So he picks this lady up, puts her in the truck with him, and takes her to go get gas, but did not call me.
Right. That was where I made my mistake.
So I said,
go ahead.
I said, babes, we've been in this. You didn't think to call? So I'm just like,
it happened.
For real?
It happened to me.
Sometimes I have to let him know that I'm not being carnal minded. I'm doing my best to try to protect you.
To protect me,
because
right.
In any instance, anything could have happened in that situation.
Right.
And I wouldn't have known it no different.
You wouldn't know
because
nothing.
Had something happened or something came about, and I see some pictures up on the internet.
Right.
Listen, y'all gonna have to save me.
Y'all might save me, please.
Marriage Takeover was gonna be over.
Marriage has taken over. Yes.
Right.
So I mean, but yeah, I do because I when I told her, I was like. And she was like, you didn't think to call? I was like, oh, crap. Because, you know, for me, when it's like, okay, I'm going to help you because I still got stuff I got to get done. So I was like, okay, boom, boom, boom. And I was like, babe, I'm so sorry because my mind should have went to, hey, let me call my wife real quick. Like, hey, I'm here. But and kept my wife on the phone the entire time. Because, you know what I'm saying? It's because now, you know, the world is kind of crazy. People do anything to set somebody up.
And that's how you can have a pastor in the pulpit on the bench.
Ooh! Yeah, y'all have seen it run around.
So,
So
eating somebody, because there was no accountability.
Right.
Because maybe the first time around, it was an opportunity where it slipped because it happened because they caught him off guard. But then, because it wasn't caught, oh, well, let me keep doing it. There are women who are, like, they target pastors.
Oh,
they
man.
Target ministers.
Right.
And I'm just like, you have to think about these things. Yeah. So does ministry tear your marriage apart? No, but if you don't have certain boundaries,
right.
And you don't have if you aren't in alignment and you're not being wise, the things that take place as you are working in ministry can tear your marriage apart.
Right. If you're not learning how all of it works together, because, I mean, granted, you have to then if you are one that works in ministry, you have to look at what's God ordained and what's not God ordained.
Right.
Because for one, God is not going to cause confusion. That's not what Christ do. But if all you're doing is running, when you're going to have time for your home?
Right.
When you're going to have time to be a father? When you're going to have time to be a husband? When you look at that, I remember we was with one pastor now, and we're just somehow talking. He was like, yeah, if I have to, you know, if my child has a game on a Sunday, we're talking about still school age. If my child has a game on Sunday, then, you know, I will miss the game and be in church. And so my response, that's good for you. But as for me and what I'm doing in my house, nah, you won't see me that Sunday, Pontius.
Sorry.
I was
going to say, whether that's school age or any age, let our son.
Nah, if the Lord bless my child to go to the league, granted, you know what I'm saying? It depends on where it's at. Because I think I can still do, my weight is different now. So
I'm just saying it's about supporting your family, because what you don't want to do is you don't want your family to resent God because they're watching how you are running yourself to death and neglecting the family.
Right.
Because that happens also in the church.
Because
and I think it's 1 Timothy 3, is it 15 or 17, where it basically talks about how, and it was referencing the deacons, but how you are out ministering and doing those things, but you can't even save your own house, then that's a disgrace. So think about those different things before you start moving in ministry and start omitting your family, thinking that they're not as important as ministry. Your family is your ministry. Your marriage is your ministry. And when you go out, that's the replication and the example of that. I'll never forget one time Eric was so busy with going to church and he was walking ahead of the rest of the family, because, you know, I was back because I had the kids and trying to get the kids together and walking. And then I had the cute little heels on and I just wasn't walking that fast. And I understand how to be able to walk in my flow. And one of the old mothers of the church pulled him to the side and was like, baby, where the rest of your family at? No, you go be with your family. Don't you be so busy and happy to go move ahead to get into the church house before your family can get with you, so they're not walking alongside of you.
But
that was a blessing, because it's like, wait a second, you have a family. Make sure that you're a family unit. Make sure your family is taken care of. And as you are able then to move in ministry, you can then be a blessing.
Right.
And your whole family can be the blessing.
Right. And that's where also, you have to have that time to communicate, because when you do that, you know, when you have that time to communicate, guess what? Now your wife will understand, hey, we have to get here because I have to be where I need to be as far as with ministry. And so you don't want to be that type of spouse that wants to hinder, because now you're messing up with what God is trying to do in your house.
Right.
And so that's where you have to be careful. And it's like, when I understood that, then she would get up and be like, babe, you know what? Go ahead. I'll take care. What is that? They're saying that, okay, babe, I understand. I'm just extra tired this morning, so I'm going to drag my feet. So, okay, got it. I can do that.
Right.
But when you're purposely doing it because of whatever, like, no, you don't want to be that way, because now God is looking at your heart and what you're trying to do. It doesn't matter. I don't care. That's why I say a spouse. It could be the husband or the wife. So that's why I'm saying the spouse. And so you want to make sure that you're not being a hindrance.
Right.
Because now you're causing your spouse to have to pray through more, especially if your spouse is trying to fill your tank so that you can understand the ministry aspect of it. Because guess what? All right, do you try to fill your husband's tank before he goes to work? Do he try to fill your tank before he goes to work? So what makes ministry difficult? Because we have a harder, it's fine because you got to go to work. But now, because it's ministry, it's an issue. Is it because, oh, you're not getting paid to do what you're doing in ministry?
Well,
but
some
you
people
get,
are, though.
But,
some people are.
No, some are. But, if you if ministry ain't taking care of your home, you know what I'm saying, you still got a job.
I think the weight is the weight, whether it's work or whether it's ministry. That's why it's really important to be able to put the boundaries in place, because if you don't have the boundaries, what will happen is it will continue to interfere and it will continue to wreak havoc. I mean, for example, we had to set boundaries on when it was too late for the call of the house. Because what was taking place was there were so many people.
The pastor's phone.
Right.
Yes.
There was, well, it was the same phone. So people were calling him 10, 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night almost sometimes. And, you know, the emergency, 1, 3 o'clock in the mornings. And I'm just like, whoa.
You better be in the hospital if you call me 3 o'clock
well,
in the morning.
Well, only because we had to set a boundary, because here's the thing. We don't want you to put your trust in us.
Right. We want your trust in God.
Right. We are here to be the resource.
Right. We point you toward him.
But we are pointing you back towards God. And the moment that you start placing your trust in us,
that's
and start calling us, and you can't pray because you can't talk to the pastor, you can't do anything because you can't talk to the pastor, your child going to die because you can't get in contact with the pastor, that is an issue.
Right.
And so that's where we want to make sure that we do this realignment to say, okay, hey, listen. We're here as the resource. We're here to guide and to advise.
Right.
We'll pray with you.
Right.
But ultimately, you need to make sure that you have a relationship with God so that God will really be able to see you through. Yes, God speaks to us for other people. God will show us different things.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you need to make sure that you have a relationship with God so that God can unveil to you and reveal to you everything that he wants for you. And you can buy by that instead of trusting and relying on a man.
Right. And
so we stop. And what was it? 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Is our cutoff now for the phones. So you call up at 9 o'clock, it's going to have to wait till tomorrow.
So, yeah, leave a message. We'll return the call within the next business day. But no, but also at the same time, because I just really believe that in this, that we're helping somebody, because it's like I hear the question saying, how do I do that? Well, the first thing that we first started doing was, okay, let's pray about it. Because now the moment when we begin, when you call, we said, let's pray. So we begin to pray. Next thing we know, them calls started falling because it was like, let's pray. Let's pray.
Right.
And then it got to that point. No, you pray. I touch and agree, but you pray. And now the next thing we know, exactly, because you don't need to be looking for the man. You got to be looking for Christ.
Right.
Because when you look to Christ, Christ is going to set everything up. It's just like one time the person chose to, they chose to seek God first, but then God dropped them on my heart and I gave them a call. And it was, hey, are you okay?
Right.
Well, hey, I was just praying and asking God. And so, and it went. So, okay, that was so God working it out for them because they knew what they need. But what? Because we first taught them to go to Christ.
Right.
And God worked it out the rest of the way. And so, and that's where you have to know, let's pray about it. Let's take it to God because I have to point you to Christ.
Right.
And so, therefore, and it's for the married folk. You could be in the middle of getting busy.
Right.
Come on, you ain't got time for you trying to you trying to release yourself.
But, Lord Jesus.
And then I was like, oh, you ain't thinking about it. If it was work good, you're going to sleep anyway. So
if you are tuning in, you are just tuning in.
I'm tired.
We welcome you to Marriage Takeover.
I could help it.
We want to welcome you to Marriage Takeover. You are listening into marriage and ministry. And so we are talking about in this particular episode, you know, the question came about, does ministry break up your marriage? Does ministry destroy your marriage? And the answer to that is no.
It doesn't.
It does not.
It makes your marriage, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It does. It really does make your marriage better.
Better and great and awesome.
Right.
But you got to put it in perspective.
So if you are just tuning in, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. Make sure that you hit that notification button because we'd love to be able to continue this journey with you.
Right.
So as we continue, it makes it better.
It makes it better.
Because as you start to understand the parameters and the boundaries and the communications and the different things that you set up around how you do minister and you protect your family and your marriage as a result of that, then things start to turn around and become better.
Right.
Because your family now is not resenting you. Your family is not upset with you. And as I think we all saw last year, that you don't really need to travel as much as you did.
Right.
Not for ministry, not for work, not for anything. You don't need to travel as much as you were traveling. You don't need to be in the church house as much as you were in the church house. I think 2020 revealed to us that everything that we were doing, not to say that it was all bad, but everything that we were doing, we do not have to be able to keep it or maintain it at that capacity that we were doing to always feel like we're needed.
Right.
If you always feel that you're needed, check your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Check yourself, check your motives, because there are some people that have the gift of helps and you just want to help. There's nothing wrong with that, but make sure that you have boundaries.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you like that. When you said that, if you feel needed, you should always feel needed in your home.
Yeah.
Period. Because if you don't feel needed in your home, then guess what? You've done your job at home. But that's something that you got to continue to do. I was listening to my wife. She was talking to our nephew, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, no, because it was a person that they was on the side of the road with the hazards on.
Right.
And she was like, you better not stop. It was dark. So
she
was
slowed down.
I slowed down.
He rolled his window
down.
Just
to make
down.
Sure it was
I said,
okay.
Baby, keep going.
He
said, well, baby, we need to call. I can call 911, but we are not going to stop.
Right.
We're not going to slow down.
And so, but what happened was I was sharing because when I remember when she broke down, she calls me, I show up, she hops in my car and leaves. I'm like, hold on, wait, you just left me stranded. Well, because she know I need security. Car broke down. She felt very vulnerable. She felt very insecure at the time. So she called me. When I got there, whoo, I'm safe.
Right.
And she's gone. Don't worry about me. I'm good. Don't worry about it. I will figure it out right now.
Well, because I know anytime I'm around my husband, anytime my husband shows up, I feel safe. I feel secure. There is a security that he brings me, that he gives to me, that he shows me, that he has entrusted in me, that I I know anytime I call him, I'm good. Like, if he shows up and I know he's on the way, I'm good. Now,
she's learned. Maybe she's learned to pray. And God has given me that strength.
Oh, absolutely.
To keep her.
Absolutely.
To give her that. Amen. I just want to make that clear.
Yes. And thank you so much for making that clear. Because there could be times where I'm going through a bad day and we hadn't talked all day. But because I am praying, God is dropping stuff into his spirit. And he's then able to just send me a text message. He's then able just to pick up the phone and say, babes, I know you're busy right now.
Words
but I just
want to
pray. I just want to pray with you. This is what I feel in the spirit. And he just start praying.
And I'll affirm
and
her.
So these are the things. Awesome. It's not even so much as the affirmation. It's the knowing of, because so
how
a lot of times I'm not
time.
Even feeling, I don't need the affirmation. A lot of times I just need the covering.
Right.
A lot of times need the reassurance that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right, right,
and
right,
although
right.
it might seem like there's a heavy weight on me in anything that I'm doing, whether it's in ministry for the women's ministry, whether it's for the church, whether it's for the children, whether it's at work, if I'm feeling that in that moment, whatever that weight is, to hear him on the other phone and say, hey, baby, I'm just praying for you. I just want you to know. I'm praying that God will restore your strength, that he will renew you. And for me, that's a good quickie.
Mm.
Only because I know that it was nobody else.
Don't play with me. I feel Jesus on that one.
I know that that was nobody but God. So because I have that relationship with God, because he is in alignment, he has that relationship with God. That's what it means to be in the alignment.
That's what
because
it means.
He's able to hear from God on behalf of his wife. Mm. He's able to hear from God on behalf of his family. And although I may not say a word to him, he understands it because in the spirit we're intertwined.
We're intertwined. Come on. And the three
shall be come.
Shall not be broken. And the two shall be broken. Yeah, look at you. Look at
that's why I need him here. That's my security.
He's so funny. But that's the thing, though. And the one thing that I say that even with ministry for us, God has allowed it to be so much fun. I remember one time in ministry, we both was just busy. And enjoying one another. It was so funny because he allowed us. He was like, yo, we're just going to do a getaway. And we brought up her godmother to watch the kids, and we flew to Puerto Rico. We flew to Puerto Rico. Oh my God, we had so much fun. And oftentimes, because we had got so used to always ministering, even where we go, being a blessing to others, the Lord was just like, "No, sit back." So we ended up connecting with one of the workers there, and they gave us a locals tour. So we were out hanging with the locals, and I mean, man, Grant and I, we're in a place that we don't know, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, but we formed so many relationships from that, and even when we went back, it was like, hey, how you doing? And so it was, I mean, because God just allowed us to sit back and chill. We went to a dirt track, and where there was,
Drag racing.
Yeah. And it was like, yo, you want to run? I was like, oh my God. And she was like, no, you're not for the ride. What? What do you mean? This is my opportunity.
He was not about to leave me by myself in that crowd of people.
But the thing is, they took care of us. It was like we were family, you know?
They really did.
And it was to the point, even I want to say, like, even like 2 years ago, we got an invitation to that child's graduation.
Yeah.
So we was like, yo, this is crazy.
And
but
so we check on them. So when the hurricanes took place.
Right. We made sure they was good because it was a relationship that was built. But we didn't have to minister. God gave us that place, that time where we could just chill and have fun with each other.
Yeah.
And man, when I tell you, when you are doing those things in marriage and you're also doing, God knows what we need.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to be obedient and keep things in perspective with each other, that means you're communicating, you're setting the boundaries. You are also, you know what I'm saying, communicating and setting the boundaries. And you're having those expectations,
yeah.
Not unspoken expectations, but having those expectations. Because I remember even when I was really working in the heart, I always let her know. I was like, okay, baby, service might be over at yada yada time. Give me about an hour or two, you know what I'm saying, before I leave because I got to do X, Y, Z. I kept her open into everything.
Yeah.
Even I'm trying to tell you, because you can be so exhausted in ministry to where you come home and you still can't find rest. No.
Or peace.
Because now you start getting ready to burn yourself out. I was there. I know all about that. But it's like, God, what did I do wrong? And because that was that time I did not take the time to communicate with her. I did not take the time to communicate my expectations. And nor because I never took the time, she never gave me what she was expecting.
Right.
So therefore, we cannot stay pretty much on the same page. And so therefore, you'll find yourself wearing yourself out it's like you're trying to keep two people happy.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, champ. Mm-mm. Can't do it like that, you know?
So what were some of your triggers when it came to, like, even as we were doing the transition, did you have any triggers?
You not being ready.
Okay.
That was my only trigger.
Okay.
Because if you...
Me not being ready to go in the morning for service, or me not being ready for ministry?
No.
They're two different things.
For you not being ready to get your butt up and go.
Okay.
That was a problem for me.
Okay.
And I tried to tell, I said, boo, listen, you already know I have to be at service at yada yada. You say, honey, let's ride together. Got you. But I have to be on time.
Right.
And it was like,
that was a big deal.
But she kept dragging. I said, "Boo, we have two cars.
Yeah, we had to.
So let's have peace in this on Sunday mornings." Because it's like, because this is one thing. I don't know what your role is in ministry or what God has called on you. It's just that for me, in the morning, I like to be clear. So that I want to make sure that I'm here. And when I say in the morning, I'm not just talking about Sunday morning. I'm talking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm talking about the whole week. Because when I'm in devotion, that's just, I don't know, everybody has that place of connection. But when I have to move, those triggers is like, I can have a great time in devotion, but she want to drag her feet. Like, y'all, we can't do this morning. I can smile all day, but I'm looking because I love my wife and I know she has her own drum beat. Well, listen, on these days, I need your beat to be with mine. If your beat can't be with mine, we got two calls. I catch you on the flip side. I catch you when we get back.
That
you see what I'm saying? Because you have to not just see the problem, but you got to come with a solution.
Right.
A solution that's going to bring peace. But also at the same time, it's like, okay, and I had to tell her, I said, babe, when we was carpooling, was I making you late for work? No, I wasn't. But then I had to ask her, were you making me late for work? Yes, she was. So it's like, no, we can't do that. And so
I like to sleep. And
you better get your tail up when you're rolling with me.
But even here lately in ministry, we've kind of come to, there are some trigger points with not having, or not being on time for service.
It's still the same thing with you, girl.
Not being on time for service. But one of the things that we did differently is we prepare now Saturday evening.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturday evening, we get the bulk of everything that we need to do for service together. So if I want to get an extra 15 minutes in, I can get the extra 15 minutes in because I've done everything Saturday night.
Everything's already been set up and ready to go.
Right.
And that's the thing.
But you can't do that unless you communicate.
Right.
You can't do that unless you know what your triggers are. My triggers were him not being home. So whenever he was away, because he would be away all day, like he worked nights. And then when I was working days. And so whenever that time we had together, it was important to me, but it was always like a hit or miss. It was always a tap and go. And then when you changed jobs and then he was working during the days and then you still were kind of at the church or I was at the church.
Yeah.
It was still, for me, it was him being away. And then when he was home, he wasn't all in because he was still taking phone calls. because he was still, you know, he wanted to have his own personal space and his own personal time. So he wanted to play the video games. He wanted to watch TV. He wanted to do those things that which he had a right
to unwind.
Right, which I get is to, you know, for him to unwind, and he deserves that space and he deserves that time. But for me, I wasn't getting the time.
Right.
So even though he was out doing a good thing, I still wasn't getting the attention that I was needing.
Right.
So that was my trigger.
Right. And so, and it's very important because what happened when we sat down and talked about far as even, because now the Lord has us pastoring. And so that right there is a whole nother, it's a whole nother beast by itself.
Yeah.
When you don't have things in perspective or have things set in place, I guess I'll say. And so my question was, because I came to it, I was just like, yo, it's like, okay, you knew we have X, Y, Z. Why? What's the problem? Why you can't be on time for morning prayer before service start? Why can't, you know what I'm saying? So then it's like, well, such. I said, well, all that stuff is already taken care of. Tell me why. Okay, then so that means we need to find what would be a better solution. If it only takes us 10, 15 minutes to get stuff together, then let's use that 10, 15 minutes to do it on Saturday. So then, therefore, there's no issues on Sunday mornings.
Right.
But see, it started with this first versus bringing out. Well, it started with this, but we were able to have a conversation. So it wasn't a pop off. It was like, okay, listen, we can't do this no more.
And then you made your expectations clear.
Right.
Like, okay, my expectation is when service starts that we're down here at least 30, 40 minutes before service starts.
That we're in service.
So that we're in the building. We know what's going on. So that there aren't any issues, and any issues that we run into, we can kind of work that out.
Right.
And so making sure that your expectations are crystal clear.
Did you say 5-10 minutes?
No.
What'd you say?
I said 40.
Okay, all right. Okay. I didn't hear that one.
30, 40,
you know what? We're going to go back and watch this so we can see.
So even with, you made me forget what I was going to say.
So
making sure that your expectations are crystal clear. You know how it reminded me of when I wrote this note down to have them crystal clear. Remember the Windex commercial?
With the birds.
When the bird flew through the glass window and ran into the window because it was so clear they couldn't see that it was a glass.
Right.
So making sure that your expectations are that
crystal clear. Yeah.
And understanding that what your expectations are, then communicate.
Yeah.
Okay, so how can we meet this expectation?
Right.
What do we have to compromise to be able to get there?
Right.
And then go there. Did you have any triggers when it came to ministry?
What you mean?
Ministry or triggers or guilt. Like when the transition started to take place or to change around, maybe you can't be at church as much as you want to because you want to build your home or you want to shift those priorities. Did you have any regrets?
That's why I thank God for Pastor. That's why I thank God for Bishop Otis McCormick of New Jerusalem Church of God in Christ in North Pole, Alaska. And I thank God for my spiritual father, Bishop Avon Lynch, because these guys told me in my young years of ministry that my house is number one. And so when I came to be to minister under one service, they didn't understand why my house was first, because they taught me that it does not matter what the church, as in the building, is asking of you. What is God telling you to do? And he's telling you to be a man of your home first, because you can only be effective if you have peace in your home as you go out. He said, because when you begin to deliver a word, the people are going to be looking at your wife. And so therefore, that told me right then and there, hey, I hear what you're saying. Just like I was saying, the one minister is like, yo, if I have my son has a game on, I got you. You won't see me because I'm going to be at my son's game. And it has happened. And so with this, and you know, and I thank God, because then my son, when he was in his younger years, I thank God for it, because my son saw that, yes, I can also be a full-time dad while I'm full-time ministry.
Right.
And so it doesn't matter, because my son, and it's so funny, that's why God brings you help for the church. Because I had to help my son, and guess what I did? Hey, such, you got Sunday. I got to go take care of my child. You see what I'm saying? And so when you said that, guess what? That began to speak volume. If there's any pastor that is listening, that speak volumes to your congregation. for your congregation to know that you are more concerned about the family than you are the church building, man. Because now they're willing to be obedient to God on your behalf.
Right.
That is the one thing that I have truly. So I don't have any, you know, there's no guilt in me because of it.
Okay.
If I wanted, if the Lord allowed me to, I shut the church down to take her on a holiday. But that's not where God has led. But I know, but if he says, no, I want you to give it to the associate pastor. Associate pastor can't. Guess what? All right, now praise the Lord. Hey, you got it. Me and First Lady finna go on a holiday. Hallelujah. Praise Him. But no, I don't have any guilt. Why? Because it's all about being obedient to the Spirit of God.
Right.
And so when you ask me about marriage, if you ask me about marriage versus ministry, no, marriage is gonna always win.
And it's important to understand that God created family before He started like any ministry. God created family first.
Adam and Eve was the first marriage. Look at Genesis 2.
Ministering before they started doing anything. So if you ever are, you know, having a tug of war, if you're ever going through some stuff in your mind and you're really struggling with, you know, should I, and we're not saying that you have to give up ministry. We're just saying to understand the balance.
You gotta put it together.
Your family comes first. Your marriage comes first. And I am a supportive, you know, wife who will support my husband in ministry. But at the end of the day, I don't want to be in the church all day, all night, all week, all month. That's just not what we're doing.
So what? Because that's just the place where God has us right now.
Right. Because so, even on our trips, like it's even when we go on our trips, we're still ministering.
Yeah,
has not been a trip, sweetheart, that we have taken that we have not ministered to somebody at the airport, at the resort, somewhere at the store.
We had ministered when we went to that time in Puerto Rico?
When we went to the Puerto Rico thing, you were ministering to somebody that was in the timeshare. When we went to go on tour,
the first time, that was when the kids came with us.
Sweetheart, I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, we was looking at the timeshare, that was when the kids was with us.
I don't know. So you're going to ask me on camera. I don't know. But I know single time we have gone anywhere. I mean, it could be the gas station. So I know that God's hand is on our life. And I get it. Like, I understand it. But it doesn't mean that we have to be in a church building in order to minister. In order for God to use us. So.
Well, amen then.
Yes. Well, so I think we're coming up on time anyway. We're coming up on time anyway. So
it ain't coming up on it. We own it.
So we want to thank you so much for tuning in. If you have questions, if you have topics that you want to send in, listen, we are looking to be able to grow the community, to grow and to continue to do what God is asking for us to do. So if you have questions, if you want answers, if you have suggestions, please send that in to us at info@marriagetakeover.com. You can email to us. We also have our website that's up, www.marriagetakeover.com. We have some fresh new content that's coming out. We have some courses that are coming up. We have the book launch that's getting ready to start next month. So we are super excited about this Labor of Love. It is a very easy to read book that we are super excited about releasing. So if your marriage ministry wants to, you know, purchase some books in advance, or if you want to pre-order in advance, go to the website. You can pre-order in advance. If you want to do a bundle, send us an email, info@marriagetakeover.com, so that we can get you the information that you need for a bulk order. And even if you want to do like a marriage Bible study group, you know, let us know. We are open to that. But again, we just want to make sure that we are being a blessing, that we are helping your marriage, that we're continuing to build your marriage, giving you resources. And yeah, that's all we have.
Amen.
So thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe.
Yes.
Make sure you hit that notification button.
Yes.
And follow us. We are on IG. We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. We have a Facebook group, All Things Marriage Takeover.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you connect with us. We would love to hear from you. We want to celebrate your anniversaries. We want to celebrate the weddings. We want to celebrate your engagements. So make sure that you send us an email so we can do that.
Right. Send us those dates.
We're going to pray out, and we'll see you guys next time.
Amen.
So God, we love you. We honor you. We ask, Lord, even that if there is a couple that is listening, who is in ministry, who has struggled with ministry, who is struggling with ministry and marriage and understanding the balance, that you would give them peace, that you would give them wisdom, that you would give them knowledge, that you would help them to understand that a relationship with you is far greater, far better than being able to do the works and the works and the works and the works and not have the alignment with your relationship in hand. So I'm asking that you would help them to understand the alignment, that you would give them the fresh revelation of what they need to do, that you would even leave them the breadcrumbs, God, to be able to seek after you, to find you, to follow you, God, that you would speak to them, that you would make it very clear to them what they should do, how they should do it, that you would help them to break down the triggers, that you would help them to talk about the issues, that you would help them to be able to communicate what is really bothering them, to get to the root of the issue, so that they don't have to go in continuous or constant cycles, especially as things are opening back up now. Yes. So we're asking that you would give them peace, that you would give them understanding, that you would help them to be able to communicate in a way that they're able to hear one another, that they're able to listen to one another, that they're able to trust one another with their words, with their ambitions, with their drives, with their motives, that, Lord, they're able to seek you, God, because their relationship and their alignment is with you and where it's supposed to be, that, God, you would speak to them individually. We understand that the work needs to be done individually before the marriage can be repaired, before the marriage can be restored. And so even as you are working with them individually, that you would just have your way in their lives. God, we honor you. Give them favor. Bless their homes. Bless their jobs. Bless their ministries. Bless their businesses. And just have your way, God, in them, in the mighty name of Jesus. We love you. We honor you. And we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We love you guys. I'm your girl, Tamika.
I'm your boy, E-Rock Nim.
And we look forward to seeing you guys on the next time. Marriage Takeover, out.
We out. Hallelujah.
Thank you for tuning in to Marriage Takeover. Connect with us on Facebook at Marriage Takeover.